Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
I enjoy this morning sitting and just listening, not to Gary Siegler. I didn't come to hear him. Come to hear the God that's in him. If you come to hear a man, you can be disappointed. But if you come to hear God, how many believes that we're living in a time now that I believe, as I travel and preach, go out all throughout the country, that there are people, as we talked in the back, that God is beginning to opening up their understanding, and they're wanting to hear God, and they're coming out of everything else except hearing from God. And they're not sitting there any longer. They're hearing from God. I said this morning before he comes, and I feel it's so important to say it again. I believe with all my heart that there was a lot of emotions going on at, and I didn't teach it this morning. I just said a little about it because it's a powerful word. Many cried out, but Lazarus didn't hear them. He still laid asleep or dead. Many prayed, but nothing happened. Many cried out, nothing happened. The church cried out, but nothing happened. I ain't getting into all of that. And it will nothing happen tonight either, or no other night, until you hear God. And when you hear God, you'll get up. You'll get up when you hear God. When Jesus said Lazarus, he got up, didn't he? No other voice could bring him from that dead consciousness that he was in. Somebody say dead consciousness. See, the dead knows nothing. Hallelujah. That dead consciousness couldn't hear him. But when he heard, which I teach, he knew that voice. Because he was with that voice in the beginning. Same as Jesus was. See, same as you are. The problem of it is our eyes, our mind has been blinded through tradition and doctrines of men and religion. But see, once you come into your true identity of who you are and where you come from, see, you come out of God. You didn't come out of heaven. And I don't even want to go back there because I didn't come from there. Now, I didn't come out of earth, and I don't want to go back to earth because I didn't come out of earth. I come out. Jesus didn't say he'd come from heaven. No, he didn't. He didn't say he'd come from heaven. He said he'd come out of his Father. See, because God was before heaven. Oh, yeah. See, when you get into that true identity, then you was before heaven. And you was before earth, because you was even beyond the beginning. I said you was beyond the beginning. See, I don't have no beginning, and I don't have no end. Never had a beginning, and I never had an end. I never will have an ending, and I'm just coming to that consciousness. Amen. 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 I'll hush, but it's so, I tell you, I love it. I enjoy what God is saying. Hallelujah. Amen. They come to hear Gary Siegler, not Ron Fussell. I'm here all the time. And they don't come, so I know they didn't come to hear me. Hallelujah. But it's awesome. That's awesome.
Yes.
And God is opening up. He spoke to me a few weeks ago, and my wife, my gift from God. A few weeks ago, wee hours of the morning, been waking me up for weeks between 3:30 and 4. And I've been just in my presence with Him. And He spoke to me, He said, you're going to start releasing the book, the word, and the seed. Because it's all in one. Until you get the book open, you can never get the word open. If you can't get the word open, you can't get the seed open. And if it don't burst open, you can't bring forth God that's in you. Because the seed is the word, and the word is the book. Amen. God is good, ain't He? Give Brother Sigler a hand as he comes tonight. God bless you.
Hallelujah. I sure like those drums. Isn't it wonderful that we have young people today that are just so alive? And they're, I don't know, the children, many of them that are being born today, there's even children being born today who never have lost consciousness of where they came from. I tell you, there's a new breed arising on this earth. Some of us who have been on the earth a little longer, it seems it takes us a little longer to really have an understanding of the spiritual thing. But some of these children, they just, it's like they're born with the knowledge. It's a wonderful thing. Well, we started talking this morning about our spiritual potential. And what is that? That is unlimited. That is eternal. That is unending. You will never come to a place where you can say it's all over. Is God always and forever expanding? Well, so are you. We are such a blessed people to be on this earth in these days, to have these seals that I began to talk about this morning, to begin to have these seals broken in us. It's the most wonderful experience when all of this stuff that you know begins to manifest in your life. And it is so easy when God opens your eyes, because you realize, as we said this morning, that a seed of corn or a flower or anything, you know, anything that you plant in the ground that's a seed, there is no effort for that seed to reproduce. It's a life law. It's the law of that life. And that's why the Apostle Paul said that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So the key to experience is to get into that life law. You see, most of us have been in the law of sin and death because we still live out of this carnal mind. Even as Christians, I mean, does anybody, some of you may, but do we have the boldness to stand up and say, I am come that you might have life? I can guarantee you, I know that's why I'm on the earth. I am here, not speaking out of a human consciousness, but speaking out of a spiritual identity. We are here to reproduce Christ in a people. That's our function. See, we have great potential. And one of the things that has held us back is the concept we have about Jesus. And I'm not saying it's a correct, it's not an incorrect, but we look at Jesus as though He is something that we could never be. Well, we know we could never. You see, in a human being living in a human consciousness, no matter how much you want to be like that, it is absolutely impossible. It'd be like taking a dog and having a dog live by a human life. You cannot. You see, we could teach that dog. We could dress him up real nice. And we could teach him till the end of his days how to live like a human. And he can't. He's a dog. He has the life law of a dog. He'll bark and he'll, you know, do all those things. But that's his life law. Well, you see, the two men that we talk about, they have two different life laws. And as long as you're living out of this human consciousness, as long as you're trying to teach the human to be like a God, you'll simply hinder his progress. We should never teach a human how to be like Jesus. Because for a human, it's absolutely impossible. We have to get into another life law. You see, if you try to fly, I used to dream when I was a kid about what it would be like to fly. But if you get up on a building and jump off, honey, the law of gravity is going to bring you down. But if you get into another law, if you get into the law of lift, if you get into an airplane, you will be lifted into the heavenlies. Now, if you get into the law of the spirit of life that's in you, then you will be lifted above the law of sin and death. Never again will you have to try to be good or do the right thing. It's a life law. You see, Jesus could only do that was his Father's will to do, because he knew who he was. Well, and because of what we've been taught, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that makes him definitely not like me. I was not born of a virgin. And he was one who was absolutely sinless and separate from sinners. He never sinned, couldn't sin. He was a perfect Son of God. That gives us an image that we could never be like that. And he had the advantage because he had the virgin birth and he was sinless. But we haven't realized that we also had an incorruptible, indestructible birth in this earth. You see, he was not the only one that was born without sin. Now, I'm not talking about the human here. I'm talking about the spirit of the living God that is planted in this earthen vessel at birth. Once we begin to be able to focus and live from that identity, that life law in us can do nothing but be what it is. No effort, no strife, no bitterness, no hatred. You know, love, which is God, takes no account of a suffered wrong. See, that means if you truly rock in God's love, people can abuse you, they can spit on you, they can do all manner of evil against you, and you take no account of a suffered wrong. Well, why is that? Because as you stand in the consciousness of God, as a son on this earth, you realize that the only reason people would do you that way is they don't understand who they are. And they're walking in darkness as you once did. So we have this one, and it's true, we have this wonderful image of Jesus, and we worship him as we should. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But we worship him, and we know that he's the head of the body. But we kind of throw aside the fact that he's the firstborn among many brethren. And he said, I am the door. He did say that, didn't he? And so here's what we do. You know what a door is? A door is an entrance into something else. And he said, I am the door. And for years, 2,000 years, Christians have worshipped the door and never entered into the door. That's the truth. We know it's the truth because we've all been there. Worship that door. Yet none of us, not only we don't do what he said, we can't do what he said because we're still living out of this human mentality. We've never truly had a revelation that we are a new creation. We stand in the same nature, the same life, the same character, the same unconditional, unfathomable love for all of creation. You see, that love in you can be so prevailing that you too would lay down your life for another. So it's a wonderful thing, I mean, to worship Jesus, but to worship him all of your life as something higher than what you can become is to misunderstand the purpose for him being here. Because he was the firstborn among many brethren. So your potential lies in the realization that everything the scripture says about you is true. I like this young Joel Goldstein. What's his name? Joel Osteen. Such a positive message. And I remember his dad used to always say, you can be what this says you can be. You know, you can do what this says you can do. But you know what? You really can't. Until you hear God speak to you. See, I don't believe this is the word of God. Don't get mad at me now. This is scripture, but it's not the word of God. You know what the word of God is? It's that voice that you hear like Lazarus did. Now, you may hear that voice out of the scriptures like I have many, many, you know, for many years. But if you read it and it's just a literal or it's just a black and white letters, for instance, the word of faith taught us that if it says it in the word, then you go do it. Good luck. But if you read it in the word, in the scriptures, and God speaks that to you, that's his voice and that's his word. If he don't speak to you, then it's just the letter. And it can kill you. Hallelujah. And you know, I say, you know, if we would just do maybe one thing that Jesus taught, that we could become in reality like him in a very short time. If you would just, again, go back like, you know nothing about Jesus and just read in the Gospels. But realize as you read, you're looking into a mirror. And as you look into that mirror and you behold the life that he lived. You see, his humanity, he had the finest uplifted humanity that we've ever seen. Well, do you realize that same humanity, that same human living is who we are in the spirit? Yet we keep. And again, we can't help it. We keep trying to do better, and we keep trying to learn more and study more. And some of us go to Bible school, and we memorize scripture. And all the time, all we need is this revelation that we can only get by becoming intimate with God, by spending that time that we need in his presence to have him unveil us to the truth. And that seems like that's the one thing that we won't do. We'll teach Sunday school, we'll do any number of things, but we won't take that time to sit in the quiet and be unveiled. It's the most marvelous experience when you get a taste of it. To not always be crying and begging and asking God for so many things, but just to sit and just enjoy him. You know, so many of us are still caught up in the workings and in the law of the thing. But you know, John, the Apostle John in the Gospel of John said something that when I really saw the reality of it, it changed my life. John said this: the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And I don't know how many times I read that. The law came through Moses. You see, God gave Moses what we call the Ten Commandments, and I don't believe they ever were commandments, but that's what they've been called. And that's what perhaps Moses saw them as. And from those Ten Commandments, Moses wrote all the laws that we get throughout the Old Testament. You know what the Ten Commandments really were? They were an expression, a description of who God is. And to me, they became not Ten Commandments, but Ten Promises. You see, when you come into the understanding that God really is in you, then thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt not steal. See, they were all promises to the new creation man that you are. There was nothing about telling a human being, well, now, if you keep these Ten Commandments, you'll be blessed. Now, that was the understanding they had in those days. And that's why that Christianity has got this picture about a God who will only bless you if you do what is right. Because in the old, you know, in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 28, that tells us all about the law, there's about, I don't remember exactly, about 15 verses in Deuteronomy that tells you the blessings that you'll get if you keep the law. You'll be blessed in the field, your cattle will be blessed, your children will be blessed, you'll be prosperous. About 15 verses. But if you don't keep the law, and when the scriptures say keep the law, it means keeping everything about the law. You can't pick and choose. You have to keep it all. And if you don't keep the law, if you get in disobedience, if you break the law in any way, then you have 58 verses of cursings that come upon you. So when you see that, you understand why Christians are so afraid of God. Because of that image that's been put in our mind. And as I said this morning, when you worship an image of God that is like that, you are worshiping a false image of God. And it's only because in those days, they didn't really have an understanding, a spiritual revelation, an understanding as we have today. You see, this revelation of God in a people has been a progressive revelation throughout the ages. And no one ever seen really what God was after until Jesus came, and at least to the Christian, Jesus came and revealed the fullness of God in a man. And again, because of him being in a virgin birth and as we're told, being born without sin and impossible sin, then it makes it like he is so superior to what we could ever become. And that's true in the human sense, in the human consciousness. But I love what you said. We are not human in the sense of coming from the dust of the ground. In 2 Timothy 1 and 9, it says this, speaking of Jesus, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Boy, we didn't get that. Like I said this morning, for 13 years, I was trying with all the effort that I could muster up. It was in my consciousness and in my teacher's consciousness that were teaching me, it was all about how I could muster up the strength to overcome all the sin in my life. And if I couldn't do that, then I was like the Old Testament saints that was under the curse. So how can I expect the blessings of God to be on me if I have lust in my life, if I smoke cigarettes, if I take a drink of beer or a glass of wine? And in some cases, for you to wear a long sleeve shirt is a sin. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What are you going to do with that? Everything you have right now, everything you need right now to fully manifest God in your life, he gave to you before you ever came to earth. You see, we were born just as the seed has everything in it to reproduce what it is. Jesus gave before, I've got to read it again. He saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now that's something to meditate. Talk about meditation. Start opening your consciousness to that type of thing. And we've had so much mixture in our spiritual teaching, at least I did, that Christians are the most confused people on the earth because of the way we've been taught. Let's go, I'll give you an example here in Ephesians. We can start at chapter 1. In many of our theological thinking, we are taught that God has a select group of people. And this select group of people are the ones who are going to be the overcomers. They're going to be, you know, they're just the ones that God handpicked and chose. Well, if you have that kind of thinking, then that leaves you out because you know you ain't got what it takes to be an overcomer. Well, that's the way I thought. That's a God must not have chose me. Look at the mess that I'm in. I'll never be one of those overcomers. But you see, that what we have to realize is that you are an overcomer because you have the overcomer in you. You have that fine, uplifted humanity of Jesus Christ himself. Nothing less. Listen, we are nothing less than what he is. As he is, so are we in this world. What do we do with that? We look at ourselves and say, well, I believe it. And we have to believe it. We wouldn't dare say we don't believe it. But it has to fall from the intellect to the heart. See, we need to spend the time in meditation and opening to God. Lord, make this real in my life. I'll tell you what, God does not have a few chosen select people. Listen to what Paul said. I love the Apostle Paul's teaching because, especially here in the book of Ephesians, he does not minister to carnality. He doesn't minister to the carnal human being. But listen to what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's why I said this morning, once we begin to operate from this source of life, then everything that we need comes to us. No matter what God tells us, Carol and I, God has told us to do some impossible things. And we just do it. Without money, without the means, without anything. And we find that as we move towards what he tells us to do, everything that we need flows to us. So we don't have to send out appeal letters. We don't have to tell people, oh, I believe God wants me to do this or that. Don't have to do none of that. You just have to hear God. And if God says to you, you do this, then guess what? Whose responsibility is it to supply that need? If you think it's humans, you're going to be disappointed. But see, God, you know, you mentioned this morning that it seems like the people in this kingdom message, they're for the most part, they're not really givers. But you know what? I don't have to depend on them, the not givers, to accomplish what God wants to do in my life. Because if God wants me to do it, you can keep your money in your pocket, and guess what? I'm going anyway. Now, I believe with all my heart that God wants this message everywhere that we can possibly get it. And it will. It's coming. It's coming. But we have to realize that God is the instigator, and God is the one who speaks, and every time he speaks, With his speaking comes the ability, the finances, the resources, and everything you need to do what he says. And if they don't come, it's not time for you to do it yet. See, many times God will say to you, you know, you're going to be perhaps going to Africa and minister. Well, if he said that to me, I'd say, okay. But I ain't going nowhere until I got the green in my hands. And I'm not going to send out appeal letters. I'm not going to have bake sales. Because I might do that and raise the money to do that. And guess what? I just missed God's timing. And I might go over there and get ate up by headhunters. That's the truth. But see, a son knows that everything the father has is his. And so it's that simple. Now, let's look at this. I love this. According as he hath, in verse 4 of Ephesians 1, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Well, that's not something that's going to happen. That's something that's already happened. That's what, again, Calvary is all about, the love of God. We are absolutely without blame, holy and without blame before him. In our human, carnal consciousness, absolutely not. But that's not where we live anymore. We live out from that flow of his life, the law of the spirit of his life. And that spiritual being that you are, that was created in Genesis chapter 1. I was reading one day in Genesis chapter 1 where it says God created man in his image, and you look up that word created, do you know one of the meanings is cut down? Not created something out of nothing, but simply a word that means cut down. So from that, I realized that we're just a chip off the old block. See, we're made of the same substance, the same essence. Everything that God is, we are in our spiritual being. There's nothing we need. There's nothing we have to beg for. You don't have to fast for. You don't have to plead and beg. You don't have to read 10 scriptures a day. Pray in tongues for an hour a day. You have everything that you need on the inside of you. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Oh, that word predestinated. See, that's talking about the seed. Do you know there is no human being, human consciousness, that God has ever made a covenant with? The covenant is always with the seed. Where's the seed? Right here. See, the only covenant that God has is with the seed, and the seed in you becomes a fire and a flame that burns up that carnal consciousness. That's what the fire of God is all about. It's not about punishment, it's about purification. So God is purifying us. Oh, I love it. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Well, some of the religious groups have again made that a selective few. And they say, well, God chose you before the foundation of the world because he knew when you came, you know, you were going to someday receive him. So because you received him, he chose you before the foundation of the world. And then I say, well, then whose choice is it? You see, if God chose you before the foundation of the world, there's nothing you can do about that. You can fight it all you want to. But there will come a day when your eyes will be unveiled and you will bow the knee, not forcefully, but you will realize that Jesus came to reveal to you that everything that he is, you are. And then you not only worship the door, you walk through the door. And when you walk through the door, then you leave the human consciousness. You leave the what I call the seed of the serpent. You see, the seed of the serpent is that human carnal nature. The seed of the woman is the seed of Christ. Two seeds. Two men growing on the earth. One producing Mystery Babylon, the great harlot. The other producing the city of God. See, the seed of Christ in you is reproducing on this earth in this present day and hour the city of God. Yet we're waiting for something to fall down out of the sky. Because we don't understand this is all about the unveiling of Christ within you. And you know, one of the most exciting things about having these seals broken, there's a seal over your reproductive organs. Now, this is why the whole world is crazy for sex. But when you have an understanding and that seal is broken, you'll realize that you're to reproduce sons on the earth through that which you speak and reveal to the hearts of men. See, when God told Adam and Eve to reproduce, I don't think he was talking physically. We can reproduce sons of God on this earth when we begin to walk as a son. And it's like I said this morning, you know, some of the Sons of God movement have replaced the rapture with the manifestation of the sons of God. Someday we'll be manifested sons. Well, someday never comes. And that's why this morning I said we must step out from behind the veil. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, it said the veil in the temple was what? What do you call it? Rent. Well, what did that mean? The presence of God that was in the most holy place when the veil was rent, the whole temple was filled with the presence of God. So see, that's what happens to us when the veil of our flesh is rent. And we begin to realize that we are the presence of God on this earth. That we have everything that Jesus had is now ours by inheritance. And so we break through the veil of our flesh and God fills the temple again. Only this time it's a temple of flesh and blood. How long have we sung as we did tonight? We are the temple. Know ye not, ye are the temple. Well, today, we're beginning to have the veils removed, and we're not just singing about it, but God is filling every area, every avenue of our thought and brain with Himself. And we're learning to be as Abraham. God has made me some mighty, mighty promises. God has convinced me that there will be a day when I will fully manifest His glory, His nature, and His wonderful essence to all of creation. But you see, if I look at what I am now, and I get into that consciousness of looking at my body, but no, we look away. You see, like Abraham, it says, Abraham counted not his body. But he looked and he had faith in Him who had spoken to him. Now, Abraham, you know, he made a lot of mistakes. He produced an Ishmael. I wonder how many we produced. It's like I said earlier, if God speaks to you, I want you to go to Africa. And then we go to all the manipulation and all the fundraising, everything we have to do to go there, we produce an Ishmael. But if we just wait... See, that's what the human consciousness won't. It just can't. Well, God told me, brother, I got to do it. I got to do it. Well, if He told you to do it, then say, okay, but I ain't moving until everything is right. And don't try to make it happen. And if you don't try to make it happen, guess what? It'll happen, and it'll be in God's timetable. And then you'll be blessed, and everyone else will be blessed. When God does a thing... If I could tell you the story of our lives for the last, since about 1998, it's absolutely unbelievable. We never tried to do anything. The only thing that I did is I wrote a book a few years ago, called The Character of God in You. And it was written, from the experience that I had in those 13 years and coming into an understanding of God's nature in me. Well, I wanted to put it down on paper, so I wrote this book, and I think I printed about, I did it myself, I printed, I don't know, 30, 40 copies, and I set them on a shelf. And Carol said to me one day, she said, well, why aren't you giving any of those books out? Because, you know, she thought it was really a good book. I said, I don't want to do anything to promote myself. I won't even give a book to somebody. And I just wouldn't. And so we were going to a Bible study in Seattle for a few years. And Carol took one of those books and gave it to somebody in that Bible study. That's how our ministry got started. In 1998, our biggest year up to that point, we shipped 800 books in 1998. In 1999, we shipped 50,000. In 3 years, we had shipped over 80,000 audio tapes to over 70 countries of the world. How do you do that? People ask me, how'd you do that? I didn't do anything. I have known since I was a young man that God had what I'm doing now. I knew it was in my future, but I never, not even for one time, ever tried to make it happen. I have never to this day ever called a preacher and said, I'd like to come and preach in your church. The more you try to do, the more Ishmaels you're going to create. And God has allowed us to do that, and we have never, and now don't misunderstand me, I'm not against what the Christians do, but this is just us. We have never sold a book or a tape, yet we have literally produced thousands and thousands and thousands of books and tapes and sent them all over the world. Without one appeal letter, without ever taking an offering, without ever mentioning an offering in any of our letters or anything we do. Why is that? Because the Son doesn't have to. You see, this is the consciousness that God is bringing us into. And it's not easy because we want to do things for God. We want to do the very best for God. But the only way you'll do the very best for God is learn to rest in His presence until whatever it is you need to do is supplied for you to do it. It can be very hard. You know, I sometimes watch Christian television and I have to cry. I'll be honest with you, I just have to cry. And I think, God, we need to be there. We really do. We need to have the voice. We need to have the angel, the messenger, the voice of God going out over these airwaves. But I'm not going to try to make it happen. But it will happen. It will happen. I don't think it's going to be very long. I think people are getting tired of Christian television. And I have nothing against those people are only doing what they know to do. You know, I said a seed reproduces after its own kind. So how can I fault you if you're raised a Baptist and you have a Baptist consciousness and you think speaking in tongues is of the devil, you know? How can I fault you for that? Because I've been in a lot of beliefs that I thought were, absolutely God, but find out later on, well, that's not necessarily right. We are all progressively having a revealing and an unveiling of Christ within us. And as that happens, we change. We literally, our concepts change. The whole concept of God begins to just fall at our feet. And we realize, God, you weren't anything like I thought you were. You're not anything like the preachers told me you were. You're the most wonderful, magnificent. And to think that everything that you are, I am. As I begin to focus on the reality of who I am. There's a life in us that has never known death. There is a life in us that has never known sin. When I first read 1 John, and he said, "He that is born of God does not commit sin, neither indeed can he, because he's born of God." The first time I read that, I wanted to go get saved again. I didn't think, because I was sinning like crazy. But one day I realized that which is born of God is our human spirit. That which is born of God, that new creation, man on the inside of us, it's impossible for that life to sin. Absolutely impossible. Has no consciousness of sin or disobedience or, you know, all of that junk. It's just alive and vibrating with the energy and the essence of God. And that life in us wants only one thing, just one. It wants to reproduce itself in every human being that it meets. And it will do it without preaching. It will do it without quoting scripture. The very essence of who you are will bring change to those around you. Amen. It will. On the job, I have literally experienced the atmosphere changing over a period of time without me preaching a word to anybody. But I used to go in early in the morning, a couple hours before anybody else got to work. And I would just talk to God, and I would just speak life over that place, and I would just bless everyone that would enter that place. And I'll tell you, the whole atmosphere around me changed. Not overnight. I worked there 6 years. But it came to a point when I could sit down in the office at lunchtime, and all the guys would gather around me and just listen to me share with them. Not religion, but the reality of his substance. Because they have it. Everyone has all that God is. And people say once in a while, they say, "Gary, are you saying you're God?" Oh, that's a good question. And I have to say, yes and no. Because I explain it like this, and I heard this from Stacy Wood, because I never really had an explanation for what I knew. I just didn't. But you can go down to the ocean, to the beach here, get a cup of water, and in that cup is all the substance, all the elements, everything that the ocean is in that cup. But that cup is not all of the ocean. So you have a lot of people running around today saying, "I am God, I am this, and I am that." And there's no double-mindedness, and there's only one. You have all of these sayings. And you know what? There's truth in it. Because everything that God is, all of his wonderful expression and love and compassion, everything that God is within me. But I'm not all that God is. And even Jesus said, "My Father is greater than I." So, you know, this thing about being God can be a big ego trip too. But when you really come into the substance of his life, oh, you could never be proud. You can only fall at his feet and worship him. "Oh, Father, I'm so thankful. Oh, God, how grateful I am to realize that everything that you are, all of your substance, all of your divine life and nature has been locked up in me for so many years. But God, how grateful and how thankful I am that the essence of your being is now being expressed. Maybe not very much, but it's such an encouragement when you begin to not have bitterness towards those who abuse you. When you can stand in the face of opposition, and you can hear even preachers across the land today are saying, Gary Sigler is New Age. Gary Sigler is mixing New Age doctrine with kingdom theology. Doesn't matter what they say about you, because you know They're only doing what they believe. They're just as sincere as you or I. So it's not a matter of what you believe. And God doesn't care what you believe. Do you know God fellowships with a Baptist who believes that speaking in tongues is of the devil? I sat in my hotel room this morning, and I heard an associate pastor from the First Baptist Church in Orlando speak, and I'll tell you what, that guy spoke, even as I am speaking today, in the First Baptist Church in Orlando. God doesn't care what you believe. God wants his substance to be formed in you. Oh, foolish Galatians, as Paul cried out, how I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. See, that's our heart's cry. You can believe everything right, you think, and criticize and judge another for their unbelief or their error or whatever. God doesn't care what the Baptist believes. He looks at the heart. And I'll tell you what, this man I heard this morning, I heard the substance of his voice in this man. You think I care what he believes? Doesn't matter. And when we all, as God's sons, realize that, then we can be one. We'll never be one in our human mentality. The only way we'll ever be one is all of us enter the mind of Christ. But until that time, we need to give each other the liberty to believe wrong. I never forget in the movie, The Matrix, it was said to Morpheus. Morpheus, he said, not everybody's going to believe like you do. And he said one of the most wonderful things. He said, my belief doesn't require them to. And that's where we are. Why would I care if you disagree with me on a doctrine? What difference does that make? Does the compassion of God flow from you? When you see someone who is what you figure is in error, is it better to criticize or is it better to love them? Minister to them. Be friends with them. I have people today that say, well, Gary, you'll always be my friend, but we can't minister together because we don't agree on doctrine. That is so sad. Because it's not, again, who cares what you believe? What is the substance that comes from you? What is the expression of life that comes from you? Is it all doctrine and intellectual knowledge? Because that won't help me. Criticize me all you want to, and that's not going to help me. You know what will help me? Is when people fall on their face and they say, God, reach out and touch that man. Or God, if I'm wrong, open my eyes. If he's wrong, open his eyes. But no matter how wrong he is, no matter how screwed up his beliefs is, I'm going to stand alongside of him. I'm going to love him, and yes, I'll even minister with him. We've been criticized greatly because I've went to some New Age conferences to minister. Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't we? If we have the opportunity to bring forth life, why wouldn't we go to a New Age conference? Why wouldn't we go minister in a Muslim or a Hindu temple? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? When we have exactly what they need. Why wouldn't we? And then not only do they criticize you for doing that, then they start telling lies about you. It was said of me and Carol that we went to a New Age conference and we all took off our clothes and laid on the floor naked and meditated. Now, that's not funny. But see, Christians are so convinced that you're wrong that they will lie about you to get people not to listen to you. It's sad. It is really sad. But you see, a son of God, I mean, what? I am so thankful. There is nothing in me that responds to that. I won't even... I won't even answer charges. Doesn't matter. Who cares? Who cares what someone thinks of you when you have the approval of God? Amen. See, study to show thyself approved. Well, you know what that really means? When you study to show yourself approved, you'll understand that you're approved by God. And once you have the stamp of His approval, then you don't need public approval. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Thank God for the people that He's raising up in these days. And we know that we've been chosen before the foundation of the world. We know today that we are the Melchizedek priesthood without beginning of days nor end of life. And the further we go on in this understanding and revelation, there will come a day when you will remember everything. What a day. What a glorious, wonderful day that we're in. Amen. Hallelujah.
My. Wasn't that good? So much going through my mind. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's just awesome. I was thinking why he was sharing on some of the Paul's teachings. I had a very familiar scripture begin to roll in out that I've been ministering on for a while. That Paul had reached a level that he could say this. He'd reached a level of his consciousness. He reached a level of his understanding that he could say this. Sure, it's written, and I've preached it, and I'm sure other ministries in here has preached it, and we've quoted it, and we've read it, but yet we haven't heard it. Paul, when he said it because he heard it, and he had a consciousness of it. And it's so powerful, so enlightening, so much truth, so much light, so much life in it. When he said, I live, but yet not I. My Lord. See, we haven't heard that. We've heard it preached. We've heard it taught. But yet, we've not heard it. And you won't hear it tonight, and no one else can hear it tonight, until the Spirit, until God. I preached it for years and never heard it. Read it and never heard it. Quoted it and never heard it. Until one day I heard it. I live. But yet it's not I. It's God. Because see, Christ is God. He's not no separate third person. He is God. I live, Paul said, but it's not me. It's God living in me. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. My. It's God living in me. Have I ever fought against that? Absolutely. But that was that old man. That was that seed of the serpent. And I'm glad you said that, because the people comes here, we just did a long time on that teaching on the seed of the serpent. None other than the adversary, which is none other than the old man. He ain't some long, slimy snake. Hallelujah. Wrapped around some apple tree talking to some naked woman. I guarantee you that. Hallelujah. But I have enjoyed just sitting. And my wife and I was talking after we got home from lunch. so good to have. He'll be back. We're going to be putting our spring conference. We're going to be bringing in some others, and I'm gonna take some of that time, and I'm gonna minister too. But I want you to hear from this morning, you that was here, and tonight, the man's whole message was this: get to know who you really are. And that is, I live, but yet not I. It's God, God that liveth in me. Give Brother Siegler another hand.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write Siegler Ministries, that's S like Sam, IGLER, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27114. Or you may telephone us at area code 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. Many have asked us where to obtain the beautiful music at the end of our tapes. You may write Linda Musgrove, that's M-U-S-G-R-O-V-E, P.O. Box 111, Cunningham, Texas 75434, for information concerning her music.
True identity. I'm removed.